Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Newmark Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you and your family. I hope you had an amazing Christmas and you're enjoying the holidays. It's my honour to share the word with you this morning and to bring the word on the very last day of 2023 as we step into 2024. And the Lord is moving in our church. He has done so many amazing, miraculous things in our church in 2023. But how many know that the Lord has more for us in 2024? Is anybody believing for a move of God in this nation in 2024? Is anybody believing that the glory of God is going to be poured out in our city in a fresh way next year? That people's lives are going to be changed and healed and set free and delivered and transformed as we step into 2024? I believe that God has so much more for us in 2024. And as I was praying and just seeking the Lord, about what he would want to share with us this morning and what word he would want me to bring as we step into 2024. I just felt that the Lord put this message on my heart, and the message is entitled, Build Him an Altar. Build Him an Altar. See, when we say, Lord, let your fire fall, he says, build me an altar. I believe that the Lord is calling us both individually and collectively in 2024 to build him an altar. And I'm so convinced that if we will build it, he will come. See, when it comes to carrying the manifest presence of God in our lives individually, the Lord is not withholding from us. He is waiting for us. And I believe the Lord is calling every single one of us to build him an altar in 2024. I'd love to dive into the book of Kings, 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 9, because there is so much that we can learn from the life of Elijah when it comes to building an altar to the Lord. But before we dive into this story, I would love to tell you a story about a lady named Paula Gassner. I was preaching just a couple of months ago in a city called Stuttgart in Germany, and the senior pastor of the church was telling me the story about how the church got started just under 100 years ago. He said it started with this lady whose name is Paula Gassner, and she was in the UK when the revival was breaking out with a man named George Jeffreys and his brother Stephen Jeffreys, and God was moving in the UK in a powerful and miraculous ways. They were seeing miraculous things happen. They were seeing miracles break out. They were seeing the glory of God come in a powerful way. And so Paula was so touched in these meetings, and the Holy Spirit came upon her in such an incredible way that God actually sent her out to Germany. She didn't know why God was sending her out to Germany. She didn't know why he was telling her to go to Stuttgart, but she went in obedience to do whatever the Lord had sent her to do. Now, this was the 1930s, and in the 1930s, women weren't really preachers, let alone pastors of churches, so she went not knowing what the Lord was leading her to do. One day, Paula saw a man on the side of the street, and he was in a wheelchair, and he was rolling down the street, and as he was moving, Paula saw him, and she knew this guy's story. She knew that he was known to everyone locally as the town drunk. He couldn't walk and he couldn't hear out of one of his ears. And so Paula, full of the fire of God, full of the Holy Spirit, she went over to this man and she said, "Excuse me, can I pray for you?" And as she started to pray for this man who was known as the town alcoholic, who couldn't walk and couldn't hear out of his ear, the man jumped out of his wheelchair and he stood to his feet and he started to walk. He's like, "I can hear, I can hear. What's happening? What's happening?" The man goes back to his household in Stuttgart and all of his family gets saved, and Paula starts a church in this man's house. everybody starts to get saved around them because they knew what had happened in this man's life, and they knew that it could only be by the power and by the glory of Jesus Christ. And today, almost 100 years later, that church is full of thousands of people in Germany who call that church home. Even Reinhard Bonnke used to go there and minister there while he was alive. And so from one woman of God who decided to build God an altar in her life and call down fire from heaven, many generations, not just in that nation, but across the nations of the world, have been changed forever. I believe in the same way the Lord is calling each and every one of us, both individually and corporately, to build an altar to the Lord, that the fire of God may fall in our lives and that people may see Jesus. So why don't we turn to 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 20. It says this: "So Ahab sent to all the people of Israel and gathered the prophets together at Mount Carmel. And Elijah came near to all the people and said, 'How long will you go limping between two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him.' And the people did not answer him a word. Then Elijah said to the people, 'I, even I only, am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let two bulls be given to us, and let them choose one bull for themselves and cut it in pieces and lay it on the wood, but put no fire to it. And I will prepare another bull and lay it on the wood and put no fire to it. And you call upon the name of your God, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. And the God who answers by fire, he is God.' And all the people answered, 'It is well spoken.'" Jumping down to verse 30, it says, "Then Elijah said to all the people, 'Come near to me.' And all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that had been thrown down." Verse 36, it says, "And at that time of the offering of the oblation, Elijah the prophet came near and said, 'O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and that I have done all these things at your word. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God and that you have turned their hearts back.' Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, 'The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God.'" How many of us long to see the day when all those in Australia are falling on their faces, crying out, "The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." How many long to see our family members and our loved ones who don't know Jesus falling on their knees, falling on their faces and saying, "The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." When Elijah challenged the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, he was contending for a move of God in Israel. We know that the Bible tells us that he was challenging the false gods of his generation, and he built an altar to the Lord, and the Lord answered by fire. When the fire of God fell, the manifest glory of God filled that mountain, and God was made known to everyone who was around. This is why they fell on their faces and they declared that the Lord is God and the Lord alone, he is God. So in 1 Kings chapter 18, we see that Elijah builds an altar to the Lord. But I believe in 1 Kings chapter 18, we don't only see Elijah building one altar to the Lord, but I believe we actually see him building two altars to the Lord. See, the first altar is immediately visible to us. We immediately notice this altar. It's the altar that he builds and sees fire fall upon. It's the altar that everybody sees. But the second altar is the altar that nobody sees. The second altar is an altar that Elijah had to build in secret. We see this altar in 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 41. It says this, "And Elijah said to Ahab, 'Go up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of a rushing of rain.' So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel. And he bowed himself down on the earth and put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, 'Go up now and look towards the sea.' And he went and he looked and he said, 'There is nothing.' And he said, 'Go again,' seven times. And at the seventh time, he said, 'Behold, a little cloud like a man's hand is rising from the sea.' And he said, 'Go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down lest the rain stop you.' And in a little while, the heavens grew black with clouds and wind, and there was great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. And he gathered up his garment and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel." We see that this second altar that Elijah builds in 1 Kings chapter 18 is a private altar. And I believe in 2024, the Lord is looking for a people who will not just be content to build him a public altar, but those who will be devoted enough to build him a private altar. I believe that the Lord is looking for a people that is not looking for a platform, but they are looking for his presence. I believe that the Lord is raising up a generation like Moses that would say, "God, if your presence does not go with me, I'm not going anywhere. We don't want to do this without you. We want your presence. We want your heart. We want your glory. And we want a move of God in our generation." Elijah built two altars on Mount Carmel. One altar was public and the other was private. One was a place of demonstration and the other was a place of determination. One was a place of bold faith, the other was a place of faithful perseverance. And when we say, "God, let your fire fall," the Lord says, "I want you to build me an altar." I believe this year that some of those altars will be built in our corporate gatherings together. But I believe that the Lord is also calling each and every one of us individually to build private altars of prayer and worship and devotion to the Lord. The Lord is calling us as individuals to build altars to the Lord in our homes, in our workplaces, and in our families. I love what the American philosopher Dallas Willard, who was known for his work in the area of spiritual formation, said. He said, "Jesus is looking for people that he can trust with his power." I believe that the Lord is searching the earth, saying, "Where can my fire fall? Who can host my presence? Who can I trust to carry my glory?" I believe that every single one of us in this room has the opportunity, like Isaiah, to say, "Lord, here I am, send me. Here I am, Lord, use me. I will build you an altar. Let your fire fall on me." You know, I've noticed that there is a certain kind of life that God breathes on. There is a certain kind of ministry that seems to experience great measures of favor of the Lord. There's certain kinds of people that seem to be anointed with the manifest glory of God. There's a certain kind of church that seems to host the presence of God and the power of God in a manifest way and in a greater measure. And I've noticed that this kind of life and these kind of people and this kind of church are those who build altars to the Lord. The Lord is saying to each one of us this morning, "Will you build me an altar?" What can we learn from Elijah about building altars to the Lord? The first thing we can learn from Elijah is that altars are not built without encounters. It sounds counterintuitive because we know that an altar is a place of an encounter. So how are altars not built without encounters? But it's in the encounters with the Lord that we have that we are compelled to build altars to the Lord, not the other way around. 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 1 says, "After many days, the word of the Lord came to Elijah, and in the third year, saying, 'Go and show yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth.'" So Elijah did not build an altar until the word of God came to Elijah. When he had an encounter, then he went and built an altar. And at Pneuma Church over these past couple of months, we've been focusing on prioritizing the presence of God. We've been focusing on being people of the presence. We've been hearing messages about living a life from that place of encounter and what it means to be people of his presence. And it's important to know this morning that we cannot build altars to the Lord in our lives without first receiving the blueprints from his presence. If we are to build altars to the Lord that see his fire fall, we need to receive these plans from the presence of God. I love what Bill Johnson says about encountering the Lord. He says, "If you will make history with God, God will make history through you." We cannot build altars without encounters. The second thing we learn from Elijah about building altars is that sometimes old paths lead to new destinations. The Bible tells us in 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 30 that Elijah rebuilt an altar that had been thrown down. I love that it tells us that he rebuilt a broken down altar. He restored an abandoned altar that previous generations had built to the Lord. He returned to those abandoned altars. I believe that the Lord is calling us in this hour and in 2024 to go back to those abandoned altars, to rebuild the altars of past generations. We saw past generations that saw mighty moves of God on the earth, even under 100 years ago. We've seen that past generations saw the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the miraculous power of God in a powerful, powerful way, but some of these altars have been abandoned in our generation. Altars of prayer, altars of pure worship, altars of obedience, altars of the fear of the Lord. And the Lord is looking for those who are hungry to repair those broken down altars in this generation. Those same altars that saw cities and nations transformed by the glory of God. I believe the Lord is raising up those who would say, "Hey, I'm not just content to hear about the Amy Semple McPhersons or the Smith Wigglesworths or the Evan Robertses of the world. I want the Lord to restore the altar in my generation. I want the fire of God to fall again so that a new generation will see that Jesus is Lord." God is looking for those who will repair those abandoned altars. And building an altar may require us to travel down old paths, but I believe they'll lead us to new destinations, places that we haven't been before. I believe this morning, as we step into 2024, even today, the Lord is speaking to each of us individually, maybe about some abandoned altars in our own lives. Maybe there were things that we did in the past, places of prayer, places of hunger. Maybe we committed to fasting. There was such a zealousness in our spirit for the Lord. But for whatever reason, maybe it's delay or disappointment or distraction, just other things have crept in. We've abandoned some of those altars in our lives. I believe this morning the Lord is saying, "Hey, I'm calling you back to that altar. I'm calling you back to repair and rebuild that abandoned altar in your life." The third thing that we see that Elijah teaches us about altars and building altars in our lives is that we see that if we want to build an altar to the Lord, faith is a necessity, not a luxury. In 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 24, it says, "And you call upon the name of the Lord your God, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. And the God who answers by fire, he is God. And all the people answered, "It is well spoken." I wonder if Elijah internally was like, "I don't know if this is well spoken. I don't know if I want to back out now. What did I just say?" Because he is leaving everything on the line. He has gone all in right now. It is him, one man against 450 prophets of Baal. And if God does not come through for Elijah, Elijah will die on this mountain. I believe that in 2024, the Lord is looking for those with bold faith, those who will build him an altar and say, "Lord, I don't have any plan B. There is no turning back. Just radical obedience is the path that I am going to take." Radical obedience to the word of God. This kind of faith does not come from just willing it to happen, but this kind of faith comes from the foundation of the word of God in our lives. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. One of our core values at Pneuma Church is that God's word is our foundation. And I really believe as we step into 2024 that the Lord is drawing his bride across the earth. He's drawing his church to relentlessly pursue his word on a daily basis. He's stirring a hunger in the hearts of people to go for that daily bread, to spend time in the word daily. Why? Because without it, we will not be equipped to build what he has called us to build in 2024. The fourth thing we see about building an altar in the life of Elijah is that building an altar to the Lord does not require strength, but surrender. We know that there is strength in numbers. And I just mentioned that Elijah was only one prophet against 450. So he was outnumbered. He wouldn't be considered the person of strength in this situation. But God is not looking for strength when it comes to building an altar. He is looking for surrender. Elijah was only one man. He was the one prophet who was left in Israel. But all God needs is one. All God needs is one with a surrendered heart. All God needs is one man or one woman who will build an altar to the Lord and call down fire from heaven. All God needs is one who will step out in radical faith and obedience. All God needs is one who is totally surrendered. All God needs is one who says, "God, I'm desperate for your presence. I want nothing else the world has to offer me. All I want is you." All God needs is one. I believe that we could be that one in our generation. I believe the Lord is looking for thousands and thousands of ones to call down fire from heaven in their lives, the surrendered ones, the ones who will contend for revival in our time. So how do we build an altar to the Lord? If we want to build an altar to the Lord, then our lives should become the altars to the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5 says, "You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." See, an altar is not a matter of works, but a matter of devotion. An altar is not a ministry I build, it's a life I surrender. An altar is not built with human hands, but it's built with human hearts. When we see an altar in the Old Covenant, we see it as a place. And we know that altars are places of sacrifice, of consecration, of devotion, of worship, of fire, of covenant, of promise, of presence, of friendship, and of encounter. But in the same way that we see an altar as a place in the Old Covenant, we should see an altar as a posture in the New Covenant. As people of God who desire to build an altar to the Lord, these places should become our postures. So an altar is a place of obedience. We know that altars in the Old Testament, they were like IKEA furniture. They came with instructions, and the Lord gave them directions on how they were to build this altar. They were instructed to build these altars obediently. They had to follow God's directions precisely. If we want to build an altar to the Lord, our lives need to take a posture of obedience in 2024. I'm convinced that simple obedience changes history. Powerful things happen when we simply obey what the Lord tells us to do. I truly believe that there is a move of God in your life waiting on the other side of your yes. I was preaching just a few months ago in Paris. I was preaching Sunday morning for my friend for a church, and he told me after the altar call, he's like, "Layla, we're going to the Persian church this afternoon." I was like, "Fantastic, I'm half Persian, my dad's Persian, my mum's Irish." And so I was like, "Fantastic, let's go to the Persian church." And I said, "Oh, am I preaching at this Persian church?" And he was like, "Yeah, you're preaching at it." I was like, "Fantastic, that's great. I can't speak Persian. I don't know what's going to happen here." So we went to this church in Paris, this Persian church, in the afternoon. And there was about 10 people just sitting around a classroom sort of set up, just tables, chairs. And to be honest, I didn't really come into that room with much faith. I was like, number one, I'm going to be translated twice, which anyone who's ever been translated, and especially talking to new Christians, you know, this is a disaster. Like, how can I, one, communicate the gospel, but number two, have it translated into two languages and hope that it still stays the same God, the same Jesus, the same gospel, the same word, you know? Like, I don't know what they're saying. So I didn't have a lot of faith. To be honest, I was just like, okay, let's see what happens here. And so I shared the word and they sort of stumbled into French and then into Farsi. And at the end of the sermon, the Lord just said, "I want you to pray for each and every one of these people individually." I was like, cool, there's only like 10 people, we can do that, no problems. And so we started to pray for each person and the fire of God just started to fill that room in a powerful way. We just started to feel the manifest glory of God fill the room. Even though there was a language barrier, even though it was like, who knows what gospel has been preached today, God was moving in that place in a powerful way. And so we stopped and we prayed for each and every person, and every person's story was just so moving about how they had come to Paris and what the Lord had done to bring them into salvation and what was going on in their lives. And it was such a humbling experience praying for each and every one of them. We got to this one lady and she started to say through the translator, she said it in French, she said, "I've been diagnosed with two tumors in my breasts and will you please pray for me that I would be healed?" And so she's weeping, she's crying, and everyone gets around her and we start to lay hands on her and pray for this lady. And as we prayed for this lady, she starts to get really hysterical. And she takes my friend Lida, who is a lady, she takes her hands and she puts them on her chest and she's saying something hysterically. She's going wild, she's going crazy and she's crying and she's just in this daze or whatever. And I said, "Lida, like, what's happening? What's going on?" And she said, "She says that she can't find the tumors anymore. She says that the tumors have completely disappeared." So the Lord moved in great power. And it didn't happen because we had massive faith or expectation. It didn't happen because we had an amazing worship team. All we had was worship on YouTube. It didn't happen because we had a great message. It happened because when we step out in simple obedience, the Lord answers by fire. The Lord moves on our obedience. I want to encourage somebody in this room today, whatever the Lord is telling you to do for 2024, even if it does not make sense, I encourage you to grab hold of that word and grab hold of it and chase it with everything that is within you. Because on the other side of your yes, I believe that there is a move of God. The second thing that we see about altars are that altars are a place of devotion. They're a place of prayer and worship and sacrifice. We see in 1 Kings chapter 18 that as they are setting up Elijah's altar, they actually start to pour a lot of water on the sacrifice. And this was not a conventional thing to do. The other team did not put water on their sacrifice because when you want something to catch on fire, you do not pour water on it. And so they were doing something that was sort of counterintuitive. What they were doing when they were pouring water on the altar was they were taking what was most precious to them and they were laying it down before the Lord. See, they were in an extensive drought, and the most precious commodity that they had was water. And so as they started to pour out the water on the altar, it was a sign of their devotion, saying, Jesus, or God, you are worthy of it all. You are worthy of everything that we have. We give you our greatest and best sacrifice. And they started to pour it out and make this place a place of devotion, a place of sacrifice. I believe that as we are building altars to the Lord in 2024, these altars will take us beyond our comfort zones. I believe that the Lord is not calling us to just sit back, relax, watch church online from our couch. He is calling us beyond our comfort zones. He's calling us into the territory of the enemy, because Jesus came to destroy the works of the enemy. He came to bring light to the darkness. And so he's sending us out beyond our comfort zones. But he is looking for those who are willing to say, Lord, I surrender. Lord, I will sacrifice my life. Lord, everything I have is yours. I lay it down before you. Romans 12 and verse 1 says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. I love what A.W. Tozer said about being devoted to God. He says, to have found God and still to pursue him is the soul's paradox of love. Devotion is seen not only in our worship or our sacrifice, but it's also seen in prayer. And we know that the Bible teaches us that in the Old Testament, the altars were places of prayer. We know that as we build an altar to the Lord and we build this altar in prayer, God will answer by fire. We see these places of the altar were places of communion and places of communication with God. When we study church history, we discover that prayer always precedes revival. And it's in prayer that the people of God catch the heartbeat of God. I believe that we cannot see a move of God happen in our lives, in our cities, or in our nations without prayer. We cannot see lives changed without prayer. We cannot see bodies healed without prayer. We cannot see people set free without prayer. I love what Jonathan Edwards said about prayer. He said, when God is about to do a mighty new thing, he always sets his people praying. He always sets his people praying. If you want to see the power of God and the fire of God break through in your life in 2024, I encourage you to become a person of prayer, to build an altar of prayer to the Lord in your life. You can do this in your car on your way to work in the morning. You can do this in any area of your life. Whenever you get a free moment washing the dishes, start to build an altar of prayer to the Lord and watch the fire fall on everything that you put your hand to. Watch how the fire of God starts to come and consume those things that you're putting your hand to as you take this posture of devotion. The third thing that we see about places in these altars in the Old Testament, if the worship team could join me, is that an altar is a place of consecration. An altar is a place of consecration. In Joshua chapter 3 and verse 5, it says, then Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. In the book of Joshua, his instruction to the people before they took the promised land was consecrate yourselves. Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do great things among you. When we build an altar to the Lord, we are saying, Lord, I am willing to consecrate myself to you and your purposes. I'm willing to lay down my will and my desires to only seek your will and your desires for me. We are consecrating ourselves. Those who built altars to the Lord throughout history had to be willing to look like fools. They had to be willing to be misunderstood. They had to exchange the fear of man for the fear of God. And I believe that the Lord is restoring this revelation of the fear of the Lord in this hour in His church across the globe. He is restoring the fear of the Lord in our generation. In church history, when we see a fresh move of God take place, a fresh revelation of the fear of the Lord and holiness always accompanies it. You can't live a loose life and host the presence of a holy God. The greater the fire, the greater the purification process. The greater the outpouring of God in your life, the deeper the surrender. I love what Benny Hinn says about encountering the Holy Spirit. He says, only total surrender brings total communion. If we want to fully encounter the fire of God in and through our lives in 2024, it's going to require a deeper level of consecration. It's going to require a deeper level of surrender. You know, earlier this year, the Lord put this message on my heart of building an altar to the Lord. And I started to cry out to God. I started to see a shift in the church across the world, a shift from this sort of seeker-sensitive, attractional model of church. Let's hide the Holy Spirit. Let's hide the crazy things that we do. Let's just, you know, present the gospel in a very palatable way. And I saw this shift of the church into a new space, into a new place where we were going into unknown territory across the globe. People starting to pursue the presence of God and pursue the prophetic and pursue the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Churches that hadn't had anything to do with that type of stuff for 20 years. And I started to cry out to the Lord and I started to say, Lord, why? Why have we not seen these types of miracles? Why haven't we seen what Smith Wigglesworth or Amy Semple McPherson or Catherine Kuhlman saw? Why haven't we seen this in the Western church? How did we drift so far away from where they were? And the Lord started to give me this vision. He took me back to my year 7 science class and He showed me a picture of a Bunsen burner. I don't even know if this translates to anybody, but it was this picture of a flame, something that carries a flame, and we would use it for experiments in science class. And as we would use these Bunsen burners, they had what was called a safety flame and then a more powerful, potent, dangerous flame. And the Lord showed me this picture of this Bunsen burner, and He said, Layla, because there hasn't been a reverence for my presence, and because there hasn't been a dedication to holiness and the fear of the Lord, because people have been playing games with my presence, and because people have been playing games with my church and playing games with the gospel, I have had to, in my mercy, only release my safety flame to the church. Because if I had turned on my powerful, more dangerous presence, my manifest glory, it would take people out. It would mess people up. Why? Because you cannot play games with this manifest glory. You cannot play games with the presence of God in this way. We need a return to holiness. We need a return to the fear of the Lord. And in this vision, I started to see the hand of the Lord turn the knob on the Bunsen burner, from the safety flame to the dangerous flame. And I began to weep over the church across the nations as I felt the Lord say, I'm about to release my manifest power and my manifest glory in a fresh way across the church. And I believe, church, that that doesn't just happen when leaders get a hold of the presence of God, but that happens when every Christian individually starts to consecrate themselves, starts to devote themselves, starts to step out in obedience and say, God, I'm going to build an altar to You. I want to see Your fire fall in my life. I want to see the miraculous start to break out through my life. The ultimate goal of an altar is to be totally consumed by the fire of God. I don't know about you, but in 2024, My prayer is, Lord, I want to be totally consumed by the fire of God. I want to be caught up in you, Lord.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that He gave us His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.